In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
Glad to have you listening. We just got that news about the Braves getting back on Bally's August 1st. So a lot of people freaking out like, what? They reached an agreement. And again, the legalese part of it is above our head. But what we do know is that many of you have been affected. And now you're going to get a chance to see the Braves back on Bally's if you have Comcast. Again, I'm specifically speaking about Comcast customers. So with that said, Mike, we'll talk more Braves coming up. We were just talking amongst ourselves about the Falcons, and somebody asked us, what were your impressions the first few days? Listen, I think more than anything, we saw quarterbacks who could play and throw the ball effectively. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask me, what's my takeaway? That's it, the first few days of camp. This week, we're going to find out, Mike, about the physicality of some of these guys we've been talking about because they're going to put on the pads.
And it's something that we've said before. I know some guys laugh like, guys, come on. We know Ritter was bad. How bad? Yes, he would miss receivers in practice. Yes, it happened. Same with Mariota. Mariota would overthrow guys in those seven-on-seven drills. You know, it's the receivers and the linebackers and the corners.
Or wouldn't see what he needed to see.
And as Carl would say, we used to joke around. We'd be watching practice last year. Bingo. Carl's yelling, pull those, let it. You got to let it loose, big boy. And he wouldn't because he hadn't had the experience and have the confidence. Well, Kirk Cousins has the confidence. Michael Penix has the confidence. Learned today that. Not really big news, but for some it's bigger news than others. Michael Penix Jr. officially now number 2 on the quarterback chart. You've got to earn it. So technically, obviously, Taylor Heinicke had been there before, but now Penix Jr. is behind Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and he was taking, again, they were rotating reps. I say, I don't know if it was equally. It didn't feel that way. It felt like Kirk Cousins was still getting a lot of the ones. But over the weekend, things that jumped out at me, Ray-Ray McCloud, Mike, I said it. He's getting a lot of run with the ones. And when I say ones, I'm talking about first-team offense. Is he going to be our slot guy? I'm not sure it feels that way. Can I hear Ray-Ray McCloud talk about the leadership of Kirk Cousins? Because he was talking about that. And then he was talking about how this offense is similar when you talk about in San Francisco, which he's very familiar with. Again, Shanahan, right? Think about it. And then he go to Minnesota. You think about it. And then he comes here. I think they're all very close, but there are some wrinkles. Here's Ray-Ray McCloud on Cousins.
You learn something every day with a quarterback like that, you know. Coming from Pittsburgh, where I was with Ike, I had been, and it was similar. You know, just every day is something you can sponge from. You know, just everything he talks about is just he coaches as well. You know, the coach is not just this way or no way. He puts in his input and a certain thing. He's out there playing. So when you're on cue with him, I think it's gonna be fun.
Let's hope so.
He's been in San Francisco the last two seasons where Brock Purdy has taken over. He's bounced around the league. He's been a practice squad guy, but he's from Clemson, and he does have the speed. And you're right. We saw him involved in a lot of the stuff, the practice that we saw on Friday.
He was talking about that San Francisco experience, Mike. How similar is this offense to what he experienced there? Ray-Ray McCloud.
On your computer.
San Fran was definitely, high-level offense. I think people can tell the details that Kyle puts into his offense. But I feel it's the same energy here, you know, and we're just putting the pieces together now and just becoming, building a camaraderie as a team. And I think that's what an offense, you have to be one, you know, and that's what good offenses have. I mean, that's what good offenses have, but to be great, you have to have that camaraderie, that chemistry. And we are every day working together to be good, we're great every day.
Yeah, Cousins, by the way, had, you know, a part of practice over the weekend where he threw 10 straight completions, Mike. Kyle Pitts caught 4, Drake caught 3, Ray-Ray McCloud, who you just heard from, caught 3 of those passes as well. So it makes you feel good. Then you say, all right, well, what about Penix? Mike just told you he's the second team, you know, official, what, right, on the depth chart, fine. Mike, I thought he looked good, too, in the reps that he got.
Now, the good news is all this stuff, and again, we're hoping that because we like Coach Ryan, he's now been around a few years in the NFL, we're not going to go to the rigmarole of, well, you know, we're going to see from Heineke. No, everybody wants to see Penix. And now that you've said that he is number two behind the number one, who's only going to be playing in the scrimmages, means number two will be starting the game,
right,
in preseason.
Right.
So that means Michael Penix under center with the starters for whatever small sample size the starters give you. But I think that's what the fans have been aching to see. And of course, I said quarterback controversy. Well, not yet, of course. But that doesn't stop our buddy Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk from writing, Carl. Falcons prepare to move Penix to number two on the depth chart. How long until he's number one?
Well, you know what?
Because that's inevitable. At least the national media was going to go down that
road. Well, yeah. I mean, of course it is. And it'll be that even if we're 5-0,
right,
which is a dumb conversation because I'm trying to win right now and win games. But I get it, and I understand why somebody like Florio would say something like that. With that said, let's talk about Richie Grant, Mike, getting most of the reps with the ones. The safety position, we haven't spent a lot of time on it. We'll talk about it this week.
Because we got Jesse Bates and two guys who can do the job, but which among is going to win it? We're going to talk to DeMarco Helms tomorrow.
Helms tomorrow. Grant has been getting a lot of reps. So we're going to see how that shakes out. And then, obviously, we're watching what's going on up front with the defense and the front seven, whether it's Zach Harrison, Taquan Graham, Street. All these guys look good. But, again, let's see what happens when we put the pads on. And, Mike, you know, everybody was saying, all right, does anybody jump out at you, you know, on either side of the football? Not yet. I haven't felt that way yet, Mike. I mean, again, I'm excited because McCloud and you know, these guys are getting downfield. We're seeing long throws down the field,
right,
which is exciting because we haven't seen a lot of that. But you have two guys in Cousins and in Penix, Mike, who throw great deep balls. So you're going to get that as part of your offense this year.
Right.
We didn't have that.
No. I mean, this is everything that you and I joke around about the last few years, wanting to look like the teams you see on SportsCenter or the teams that you see when you're watching. You know, for instance, you're watching Sunday Night Football, right? And you know, got Tony Dungy and the guys, and they throw to, well, look at this game in San Francisco. Look at this big pass player. We're going to have that.
Yeah.
You know, this is the stuff you're going to see in offense, which is going to be cooking. And then the question is, how quickly does the defense establish the pass rush, and who are those guys that are establishing the pass rush to help the secondary?
All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Talk about Zach Harrison, Mike, because you were talking about him putting on weight.
Yeah, we noticed this. We mentioned this on Friday's show, and it's been written about a few times in the Falcons website. D-Led talked about it, but yeah. He has put on about 30 pounds of, I mean, muscle and mass. The knock on him is he just needed maybe a little bit, a bigger, more lead in the dumper, a bigger foundation, because he literally looks like the prototypical edge rusher. He looks like the old school bomb squad Falcons. Big dude, big reach. And now if this guy can use some of that size, now does this mean he kind of fits more in the interior of the line, rotational? Because I think he reminds me of Richard Seymour, the way he looks. I'm not saying he's going to play like that. But that's if he plays like that, then we're set. But that's what he looks like.
He is bigger. And we said this, right? We've been telling you all offseason. They drafted bigger. They drafted more athletic. And this is something that they want to be up front. So this doesn't surprise me that you're going to have, Mike, a variety of guys now, that whether you're, you know, rotating, and they will be, but whether it's Grady or Onyemata, who we trust and those guys can flat out play, or you're rotating these guys in, you're going to feel good about your rotational guys because they're not going to be getting pushed around, right? That's the thing. So
right.
I don't feel like, you know, in the past there have been some defenses here in the last few years. It wasn't necessarily the defensive coordinator. It's the personnel.
You
do the things you want to do.
You need the Jims and Joes. Now, if you go back and look at the defense, you know, Dean Pease, he was making lemonade out of lemons. Last year, Nielsen Detson. The defense wasn't bad. I mean, if we're honest, except for those three games we let quarterbacks run around and win games between the Vikings, the Titans. Well, Titans game was tough all the way around in Arizona. Defense was not bad. You need to score 24 points to win the NFL. This team is going to score more than 24 points. If Zach Harrison and Ebikadi I really, and you and I talked about this, Braylon Trice, a lot of guys heard the interview and said, man, he really sounds impressive.
He does.
He looks impressive out there on the field. Another guy, we got depth. We haven't had depth on the offensive line for years. Last year we had, what, four guys go down at one point in one game? Storm Norton was getting reps with the first team offensive line. You and I and Chris Turtle, who's on tonight, we were watching that at practice today. Nothing against McGarry. Sometimes we feel we're too critical of McGarry. I don't know. But Storm Norton, when he filled in for McGarry last year, was just as good, if not better.
I agree. And on the defensive side, here's the deal. Nate Landman, Hammer! You've got Caden Ellis. You've got Troy Anderson. They're all kind of rotating in. Nate Landman was asked about calling the plays for the defense and being in there.
As you guys have seen, we got a good rotation going. When Caden's in there with Troy, Caden's calling the defense. And then when I'm in there with either of them, then I'm calling the defense as the Mike. It's pretty much just who's set up as Mike in whatever defense we're running. But good problem to have, you know, like you guys have seen. And hopefully there's a way to get all of us on the field. And but right now it's good rotation, and that's how it's handling who's calling the defense.
Okay. All three play, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It's Troy Anderson. There's enough room for him to get reps here and snaps. Because, I mean, that's what it looks like right now. But I got to be honest. I think Nate Landman has made himself, you know, pretty comfortable.
He looked good last year. And, you know, the irony is, you guys know, they're both good friends.
They are.
They're sharing a house together. And this dude stepped in and kind of did the old Wally Pipp, right? You know, Lou Gehrig. but, yeah, Landman is behind him on the depth chart. Then, technically, as far as inside, it's J.D. Bertrand. And that's a kid from Notre Dame who's the captain there. We talked a lot about Braylon Trice. He would be behind D'Angelo Malone and Lorenzo Carter as far as the SLB. That'd be the guy you walk up the line as far as the edge rusher in the 3-4.
Yeah, we're going to see how that shakes out. That is another position battle. I actually, though, think that there's a chance that all three of those guys could play significant time and minutes and snaps, should I say, for the Falcons. All right, we've got plenty more to dive into, including the reaction to the contracts that were given over the weekend. The entire NFL was reacting, including Tua, what he said on microphone down in Miami to the fans who were there to watch practice. We'll talk about it as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and I'm talking about paying your quarterback. Mike, over the weekend, as we finished up on Friday, and again, we'll be back at Hooters on Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. All right, guys? Friday is the open practice for the Atlanta Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's $5 to get in. All the money goes towards Emory Healthcare. So we'll be down there doing the show, and the practice is later that afternoon. Actually, it starts around 6. So just so you know, more on that coming up this week. But as this news broke, everybody was like, oh, because we got the Tua news, and then we got the Jordan Love news. Okay, so Tua, for those of you who missed it, gets his money. He gets his bag, Mike, yep. And, you know, it's a $200 million deal, but it's $167 million guaranteed. Jordan Love gets a little bit more guaranteed money, okay? And I think he is looking at his deal, and now we know he is going to be per year the highest paid guy at the position, 55 per. And I'm looking at this, Mike, did they have to do it? Did both of these teams have to do it?
I think, you know, when you talk to Falcon fans, we'd say, yeah, you have to. We'd love to be in that situation, and we may be in that situation in 3 years' time, in 3.5 years with Michael Penix Jr. But right now, if you're the Jags, you had to. You're not going back to the drawing board. Lawrence is your guy. You know, Joe Burrow, you know, that was a no-brainer. The where it gets interesting, though, is you're right. Tua, you worry about the health concerns, the fact he's only had one full season of all the years. I mean, we're talking 17 weeks. But then you got Jordan Love. The old joke was, we're never going to pay a quarterback $50 million like Sam Bradford, who's never played it down in the NFL. Now, we're going to give you $220 million after playing one season in the NFL. They had to. They've got to. You know, you made the move on this, and it worked, and he looks like he fits this thing, and you hope he doesn't regress. Even if he regresses, he's still the value, and you've got the guy. And this will be a value by this time next year. There's no more. Who knows what Dak's contract is going to be, right?
Sure.
Some guys are going to get paid. But the one that makes it so interesting, between Tua, Jared Goff, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes now tied for 11th as far as annual salary with Kirk Cousins.
Which is insane. Because he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion and a 3-time Super Bowl MVP.
And he's the best that's of this generation, of this current crop. He is the best quarterback, hands down.
So let me ask you this, because as I look at Green Bay, I do agree with you. I'm more sold on Love than I am on Tua. That's just me. But I would tell you this, Mike. The Dolphins did have a choice, and the choice was simple. You let him play it out, and then you franchise tag him. And you say, well, that's going to cost you $50 million. Well, even if you did it twice, right, you're still only talking about $110 million, not 160 or 70 or 80, whatever this could escalate to, Mike, with incentives for Tua Tagovailoa. Nobody's willing to do that, Mike. None of these teams seem to be willing to say, you know what, play it out. We get another year of you, and we're going to franchise tag you. And then after two seasons, Mike, if you've proven to us, I'll make you the richest guy in the league. But none of these teams are willing to do
it. Because even though the franchise tag always seems like the kiss of death, everyone thought the then Redskins were nuts to do that with Kirk Cousins. But the problem right now is Lawrence, Burrow, and Jordan Love all average out to $55 million. Mm-hmm. So there's your top three, then 53, and then another 53 to Jared Goff. So you're paying $54.5 million. But if you take and consider, well, you know, in case of Tua, can I give Tua all that guaranteed money because of the concern about the injury, one big hit? They said, we'll roll the dice on it. We've got enough weapons. He's learned how to, what did he do? He did judo. He learned how to fall and not get hit last year.
Correct.
So they're rolling with it. And they've got to, because this is the window. They got all that commitment to, it's going to be so funny when Tariq Hill gets his new deal. But they've got the commitment on the offensive side.
It's got $167 million in guarantees. Just follow me here. Even if you paid him 54 and 54 in consecutive years, you're not giving him $167 million. And on top of that, he's proving it. None of these teams are willing to do it. Dolphins said they felt like they had to do it. Chris Greer, their general manager, was like, look, we're sold on him. Mike McDaniel, Mike, I told you, he's got a huge influence on Tua and believing that Tua can take them to a Super Bowl. So they cut the check. Congratulations. But now we look at this quarterback market, and to your point, the only guy that hasn't gotten his deal and everybody's with, and it's not happening, is Dak.
Right, and you brought this up last week. Dak has the language in the contract. He cannot be franchise tagged. So he plays it out. And he walks, or Jerry coughs it up, or Jerry continues to talk in circles, and nobody gets signed. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence, is he worth? No, he's not.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Patrick Mahomes, and like the Chiefs will do something. The same thing is going to happen with the 49ers with Brock Purdy at some point.
Oh, I know. After this season.
You know, and by the way, it was funny. Like Florio is on a heater today on Pro Football Talk. He's just throwing stuff. He's throwing a lot of stuff up on the wall. Brock Purdy throws 3 interceptions in full contact practice. Oh, really? Did he now? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is practice. It's July. But yeah. The other thing, real quick, we talked about it earlier. Florio, he's got a mean on for the Falcons. I don't know if he interviewed for a job or whatever years ago. He just always has something for the Falcons. He literally has his column out there today. Needless to say, if Penix continues to perform while Cousins deals with the Achilles, the locker room will certainly swing to Penix. Really? Florio is such a tool. You know, look, I get it. He's great at muckraking, you know, stirring it up. I just can't believe a guy who does this for a living. He's almost like the Matt Judge of, like, NFL.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Right? The Judge Report. Right? That's what this guy does. Just slings a bunch of nonsense on the wall. First things first.
The locker room?
Yeah. Cousins is going to scrimmage, and he's just not going to play in front of the fans. Fans are not going to get to see him. Those fans aren't in the locker room.
Yeah.
The players will still see Kirk Cousins doing the work in those controlled scrimmages against the Dolphins, for instance.
Let me say this, Mike, because this is a great example of what we talk about, and this is why you should be here and listening to us. Everybody we've spoken to, everybody I've talked to about Kirk Cousins in that locker room has said one thing: leader. They haven't badmouthed him. They haven't said, dude, I don't know. We play the soundbite all the time of Bijan saying, man, this dude can play. The impression of Kirk Cousins has been nothing but positivity.
Right. I was like, man, this dude, he's legit.
That one right there. So trust us when you read that nonsense versus people who are there and in it every day. This is what we're telling you. We told you last year, I'm not sure about Dez being a leader. They believe in him, but we don't know.
Right.
That was because guys didn't necessarily feel the way that they do about Cousins coming in here, Mike. That's crap only because he's just spewing it. That's
right.
Not true.
Now, when we had the conversation draft night or draft week, and I said, look, you know, if Cousins struggles, then you have a controversy. If Cousins can't do the things he was doing in Minnesota and Washington because of his Achilles, that's a different story. Florio, here's take a listen to this. Cousins is cleared to practice. But we're told he's still not 100% after tearing an Achilles. As Pettis gets more reps in practice, and if he plays at length in the preseason and plays well, the Falcons could decide to toss Pettis into the fray. Here's where Jim, again, Mike Florio completely takes a leap here. Listen to this, Carl. The players might make it impossible to keep Pettis under wraps, depending on how he performs. Oh, I got it. So Raheem Morris is going to be in his office, and everybody's going to come in and turn in their jersey like Rudy.
Exactly.
So yeah. So Raheem's going to be there.
We quit.
You know, Drake London comes in. You got it. It's got to be Pettis, coach. And then he takes off his jersey.
Yeah, right.
You know. And then Ray McCloud. It's got to be Pettis, coach. He takes off his jersey. And then Jake Matthews does it. I mean,
it's not happening.
Mike Florio, you are so full of crap. It's not even funny.
Yeah, it's not happening. All right, you guys can let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. We're just telling you. We told you that we were going to have the most expansive coverage of anybody in the city, of anybody anywhere. We're telling you that. We're there every day. Our shows are there every day. We're talking to all these guys. We're talking to people behind. I'm just telling you. And I never tell you anything wrong. That's not the case. So that is crap, and please don't believe it. Is Pennix having a good camp? Considering yes. But I got to tell you, when Kirk Cousins goes 14 for 16 and at one point 10 straight completions the other day, guys, he's fine. Okay?
Right, and if he does that in the scrimmage, look, there is the only legitimate concern is if somehow Cousins would have a setback with that Achilles between now and Labor Day.
And nobody knows.
Right.
If that, I mean, nobody knows that.
But to sit there and say that somehow the Pettis will win over the locker room and the players will mutiny and demand that Pettis. I mean, that's Rudy. That is absolute nonsense. So just always consider the source with some of those guys, like the Dove Clemens of the world and the Mike Florios that are literally just making it up as they go along.
All right, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. It's Dukes and Bell. One thing we do want to add, and I brought this up a little bit earlier, and that is the Madden ratings are out.
Yes.
And it's only cool for us because, guys, we got the best safety in football. Jesse Bates has a 97 rating on Madden. And you're going, okay, I don't play Madden or I'm not a gamer. Mm. Fine. Millions of people do. And millions of football fans want to connect their brand names with the guys and the people they play with, Mike, and their teams. And say what you want. But that helps the Falcons, Mike, because we need more of these kinds of guys. By the way, Tariq Hill, 99 overall rating as a top wide receiver on the game.
We talked about, you know, Drake London and Kyle Pitts and the fact that, you know, it might sound silly to the fans. Just like, you know, when we talk to guys and players really hate when folks kind of make them feel like pieces of meat in fantasy football. But, oh, yeah, I'm just some dude on your fantasy roster. I'm a human being. But it is amazing. You put their avatar on a video game, and these guys get seriously upset about this stuff. You mentioned Tariq Hill's one, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, not at camp, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, Diggs down in Houston, Brandon Ayuk, potential holdout, and then Mike Evans. So that's where Drake London wants to live. Drake London, going into his third year in the NFL, wants to be considered an elite wide receiver, that's not right. just some dude that nobody knows outside Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we mentioned that Jesse Bates.
That's a star player.
He's a dude, man. He's a dude.
All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. Steve Coonan's going to stop by. He normally stops by on a Friday.
It's Monday with Coonan.
Find out what he's talking about. We'll get the insight on these contracts, Mike, and see what he knew or if he knew or...
There's something else going on here. It's Dukes and Bell.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to our buddy Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, who normally joins us on Fridays. He's been busy. Steve, hope everything's going well. We got a lot to chop up, and you said to us last week when you came back on, you said next week when I come back on, we'll be able to talk more about these contracts. Well, we can, and I want to start there. First and foremost, how you doing?
I'm doing great, but that's why I'm on Monday, to fulfill my promise to my business partners.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. Let's start with what we know and what we've read and what we've talked about as far as this new TV deal for the NBA. First, it's a lot of money, yes. But, you know, the big controversy, I guess, has been Turner wanting to, you know, get back in and maybe pick up one of these packages. And the NBA's like, no. Steve, how would you describe to fans who are saying, wait a minute, is TNT not doing something here? What's the situation?
So I want to keep it simple because I'm not sure anybody but the three of us really care.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But basically, when Turner bought the rights in 2014, which I was actually at Turner at the time running TNT, we got a right to match a package, meaning that you, as the incumbent, you get two things. One, you get an exclusive negotiating window. And number two, you get a right to match, which isn't in every contract, but it was in this one. So let's go to the exclusive negotiating window. The NBA told TNT and told ESPN, who are predominantly cable subscribers, reach only, meaning you to watch them, you have to subscribe to cable, that they would like to add a third package that has a streamer.
Okay.
Both TNT and ESPN agreed to that. This is widely reported. I'm not breaking any news here.
Mm-hmm.
And the league went out and talked to the obvious suspects, YouTube, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, et cetera.
Right.
And at the same time, they continued to negotiate an exclusive period without talking to any other companies with Warner Brothers Discovery, as well as ESPN. Unfortunately for Turner, during that exclusive period, they were less than 10% apart on a price, and Turner let their exclusivity lapse.
Oh.
And when that happened, Comcast came in and made a much bigger offer. The league was asking $2.3 billion annual value for this set of rights, and Comcast came in at $2.5 billion. So ESPN made a deal during their exclusivity period. Turner did not. ESPN ostensibly bought the package. And Turner is today saying that they had the right to match any package. And so they're going for the least expensive streaming package, which is Amazon's package. And the NBA had said, no, that's not your package. And now it looks like it's headed to court.
Gotcha. I mean, the thing that I said when I first heard the news, Stephen, look, and I get it, I understand it's big boy business and the big money and the money that Amazon can throw, and that's a partner you want to be in business with. I just thought, to the casual fan who doesn't follow the business news, it just looks like you're screwing a partner who helped you build the NBA brand. You know, the NBA is there because of the work you did at Turner, the amazing shows, the personalities that drives interest and drives fans to the sport. I mean, to me, Turner is part of the NBA success story.
I agree, and nobody's more emotionally connected to that show than I am.
Right.
On the other hand, the viewers voted, guys. You know, maybe because we're in the industry, we still have cable, but cable's lost about half its households. When I left Turner in 2014, there were 103 million cable households subscribing nationally. Today, it's around 52. So it's not that the NBA screwed them, it's the viewer left them. And the viewer's saying, give me Amazon. I'll give you a great example. Do you know how much Amazon is a month?
As far as the TV package, it's like $5, right?
It's $14.99 or $130 for the year.
Right.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Hulu. Yes, Amazon. My bad.
Right. But the cable package is, you know, 5, 7, 10 times that. Mm. So actually, by going to Amazon, is much more viewer friendly. Much more. There's 200 million people who have Amazon versus 50 million. So respectfully. Mm. I kid about that part. I disagree. This is actually much more advantageous for the viewer who has voted with their remote control. Right now, on a monthly basis, 40% of all television is streaming, 25% is cable, and the other 25% is broadcast. Cable's number two and falling, and that's the way the consumer votes. So. I don't think anybody's done anything wrong, but I do think it makes a hell of a fun, you know, kind of salacious sports business story.
No, it absolutely does. Steve Kuhn and Hawk CEO joining us, and with his television background, you know, we're able to talk about these things outside of just, you know, our team and other stuff. I do want to talk about the Olympics with you, but I also want to ask you, with these new deals, each broadcast entity, all right, whether it's streaming or not, has the power to hire whomever they want, right, when it comes to broadcasting these games, or does that have to be cleared by the NBA?
It is approved by the NBA.
Okay.
It is approved, meaning...
And you know where I'm going with this, right? I mean, if another network that now is in this mix wants to bring on the TNT show, does that have to be approved?
The NBA would love that. You know, we'd all love it. By the way, again, I ran this place for 14 years. Right. I didn't hire Charles, but I hired Shaq.
Sure.
To inside. And if the ratings equaled the love that inside the NBA got, it'd be the highest rated show on television. I mean, that show is so popular. I hope it stays together. And if you're Amazon or NBC, who's just starting, you'd want that.
Right.
But that's just not an easy thing to do. First of all, Ernie Johnson, who truly is the glue of that show and truly the reason it works. I don't know if he can leave around. Turner or will leave Turner where he's been for almost 40 years.
Right. Yeah.
So, but if you're Amazon and you're, you know, God bless. Who wouldn't want Charles Barkley? I love going out with Charles Barkley.
We played the audio earlier with the Charles on Dan Patrick's show saying that, hey, you know, they gave me a 10-year deal, and we're in year three. And so how's that going to get fixed?
Well, either they're going to pay him, and he also told how much he's getting paid. Charles, you're not the everyman when you got a salary that starts with a 200.
Right.
But he picks up the drinks.
He does.
You know, we'll see. I'd be delighted if it happened and surprised if it did, because I do think Ernie's the linchpin. And I don't know, but stranger things have happened. But, I mean, I told our ownership group last year, I told our ownership group 6 months ago, I told our ownership group 90 days ago that I thought TNT was in, and they weren't.
Steve,
they could have gotten it done during the exclusive period.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry and sad to see that happen.
Well, listen, business is sometimes it's tough, it's hard, it's ugly. And, you know, this is something that NBA fans and certainly people here, there's so many people, and you know this, being there and having run that building, that are affected. And that's why we talk about it. This may not be a story, I don't know, in Charlotte, but it is here because of TNT and because of the folks that work there. So we want to make sure we're addressing it because of that. And, you know, we're local. Let me ask you this as far as the Olympics, because I know Mike and I were talking about the numbers are up. I don't know how much you've watched. We caught a little bit of the opening ceremonies. I went back and watched it because I wanted to see if I missed anything. But how appealing are these Olympics, and why do you think more people are paying attention?
So I'm suffering from Olympic fever.
Okay.
I love the Olympics.
Okay.
I love the Olympics. And it's funny. The reason more people are watching is because of Peacock and streaming.
Mm.
It's exactly what's driving it. It's the streaming. I think every night they're setting a record. You saw when Miami played Kansas City Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs, right, 23 million people, including probably all three of us, watched it on Peacock.
Right.
So it's not an alien service. It's, you know, streaming is here to stay and growing. And people are watching it. And if you've gone to Peacock, and this is not a commercial for Peacock, I have nothing to do with Peacock. They're not a sponsor, but they're doing an incredible job. They've built their own red zone called the Gold Zone. They've got fourplex watching. I was watching surfing yesterday.
Right, from Tahiti. Me too.
How many Jewish people have ever surfed? None.
Right.
And how many have ever watched? Me. But I'm watching surfing, and by the way, there is actually an Israeli surfer, so I am full of crap.
Yes.
But it was fascinating. And that's the thing about the Olympics. We wouldn't watch surfing if it was the only thing on and we had nothing else to do in the world. We wouldn't watch team handball, but you put the Olympic rings on it, right, and there's something magical. Mm.
That's true.
Magical.
Right. And I was a big fan of Duke Kamanamaku Goldstein, too. That's amazing to see him doing it as well as he's doing it out there.
Yeah.
Riding the pipeline.
Trying 10.
Right. No, but Steve, we've always talked with the casual fan, the same people who tune into the Super Bowl for the halftime show and that stuff. I mean, it's the sweet spot, female demographics, everything. But so it's the streaming. I've got to just get with the program. I'm literally got to cut the cake. I'm one of those guys.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to our buddy Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, who normally joins us on Fridays. He's been busy. Steve, hope everything's going well. We got a lot to chop up. And you said to us last week, when you came back on, you said, next week when I come back on, we'll be able to talk more about these contracts. Well, we can. And I want to start there. First and foremost, how you doing?
I'm doing great, but that's why I'm on Monday, to fulfill my promise to my business partner.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. Let's start with what we know and what we've read and what we've talked about as far as this new TV deal for the NBA. First, it's a lot of money, yes. But, you know, the big controversy, I guess, has been Turner wanting to, you know, get back in and maybe pick up one of these packages, and the NBA's like, no. Steve, how would you describe to fans who are saying, wait a minute, is TNT not doing something here? What's the situation?
So I want to keep it simple because I'm not sure anybody but the three of us really care.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But basically, when Turner bought the rights in 2014, which I was actually at Turner at the time running TNT, we got a right to match a package, meaning that you, as the incumbent, you get two things. One, you get an exclusive negotiating window. And number two, you get a right to match, which isn't in every contract, but it was in this one. So let's go to the exclusive negotiating window. The NBA told TNT and told ESPN, who are predominantly cable subscribers, reach only, meaning you to watch them, you have to subscribe to cable, that they would like to add a third package that has a streamer.
Okay.
Both TNT and ESPN agreed to that. This is widely reported. I'm not breaking any news here.
Mm-hmm.
And the league went out and talked to the obvious suspects, YouTube, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, et cetera.
Right.
And at the same time, they continued to negotiate an exclusive period without talking to any other companies with Warner Brothers Discovery as well as ESPN. Unfortunately for Turner, during that exclusive period, they were less than 10% apart on a price, and Turner let their exclusivity lapse.
Oh.
And when that happened, Comcast came in and made a much bigger offer. The league was asking $2.3 billion annual value for this set of rights, and Comcast came in at $2.5 billion. So ESPN made a deal during their exclusivity period. Turner did not. ESPN ostensibly bought the package, and Turner is today saying that they had to write the match any package, and so they're going for the least expensive streaming package, right, which is Amazon's package. And the NBA had said, no, that's not your package. And now it looks like it's headed to court.
Gotcha. I mean, the thing that I said when I first heard the news, Stephen, look, and I get it, I understand it's big boy business and the big money and the money that Amazon can throw, and that's a partner you want to be in business with. I just thought, to the casual fan who doesn't follow the business news, it just looks like you're screwing a partner who helped you build the NBA brand. You know, the NBA is there because of the work you did at Turner, the amazing shows, the personalities that drives interest and drives fans to the sport. I mean, to me, Turner is part of the NBA success story.
I agree, and nobody's more emotionally connected to that show than I am.
Right.
On the other hand, the viewers voted, guys. You know, maybe because we're in the industry, we still have cable, but cable's lost about half its households. When I left Turner in 2014, there were 103 million cable households subscribing nationally. Today, it's around 52. So it's not that the NBA screwed them. It's the viewer left them. And the viewer's saying, give me Amazon. I'll give you a great example. Do you know how much Amazon is a month?
As far as the TV package? It's like $5, right?
It's $14.99 or $130 for the year.
Right.
Okay?
I'm thinking of Hulu. Yes, Amazon, my bad.
Right. But the cable package is, you know, 5, 7, 10 times that. So actually, by going to Amazon, is much more viewer friendly, much more. There's 200 million people who have Amazon versus 50 million. So respectfully, I kid about that part. I disagree. This is actually much more advantageous for the viewer who has voted with their remote control. Right now, on a monthly basis, 40% of all television is streaming. 25% is cable, and the other 25% is broadcast. Cable's number two and falling, and that's the way the consumer votes. So I don't think anybody's done anything wrong, but I do think it makes a hell of a fun, you know, kind of salacious sports business story.
No, it absolutely does. Steve Koonin, Hawk CEO, joining us, and with his television background, you know, we're able to talk about these things outside of just, you know, our team and other stuff. I do want to talk about the Olympics with you, but I also want to ask you, with these new deals, each broadcast entity, all right, whether it's streaming or not, has the power to hire whomever they want, right, when it comes to broadcasting these games, or does that have to be cleared by the NBA?
It is approved by the NBA.
Okay.
It is approved, meaning...
And you know where I'm going with this, right? I mean, if another network that now is in this mix wants to bring on the TNT show, does that have to be approved?
The NBA would love that. You know, we'd all love it. By the way, again, I ran this place for 14 years. Right. I didn't hire Charles, but I hired Shaq.
Sure.
To Inside. If the ratings equaled the love that Inside the NBA got, it'd be the highest rated show on television. I mean, that show is so popular. I hope it stays together. And if you're Amazon or NBC, who's just starting, you'd want that.
Right.
But that's just not an easy thing to do. First of all, Ernie Johnson, who truly is the glue of that show and truly the reason it works. I don't know if he can leave Turner or will leave Turner, where he's been for almost 40 years.
Right. Yeah.
So, but if you're Amazon and you're, you know, God bless, who wouldn't want Charles Barkley? I love going out with Charles Barkley.
We played the audio earlier with the Charles on Dan Patrick's show saying that, hey, you know, they gave me a 10-year deal and we're in year three. And so how's that going to get fixed?
Well, either they're going to pay him, and he also told how much he's getting paid. Charles, you're not the everyman when you got a salary that starts with a 200.
Right.
But he picks up the drinks.
He does.
You know, we'll see. I'd be delighted if it happened and surprised if it did, because I do think Ernie's the linchpin. And I don't know, but stranger things have happened. But, I mean, I told our ownership group last year, I told our ownership group 6 months ago, I told our ownership group 90 days ago that I thought TNT was in, and they weren't. Steve, they could have gotten it done during the exclusive period.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry and sad to see that happen.
Well, listen, business is sometimes it's tough, it's hard, it's ugly. And, you know, this is something that NBA fans and certainly people here, there's so many people, and you know this, being there and having run that building, that are affected. And that's why we talk about it. This may not be a story, I don't know, in Charlotte, but it is here because of TNT and because of the folks that work there. So we want to make sure we're addressing it because of that. And, you know, we're local. Let me ask you this as far as the Olympics, because I know Mike and I were talking about the numbers are up. I don't know how much you've watched. We caught a little bit of the opening ceremonies. I went back and watched it because I wanted to see if I missed anything. But how appealing are these Olympics, and why do you think more people are paying attention?
So I'm suffering from Olympic fever. Okay. I love the Olympics.
Okay.
I love the Olympics. And it's funny. The reason more people are watching is because of Peacock and streaming.
Mm.
It's exactly what's driving it, is the streaming. I think every night they're setting a record. You saw when Miami played Kansas City Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs,
right,
23 million people, including probably all three of us, watched it on Peacock.
Right.
So it's not an alien service. It's, you know, streaming is here to stay and growing. And people are watching it. And if you've gone to Peacock, and this is not a commercial for Peacock, I have nothing to do with Peacock, they're not a sponsor, but they're doing an incredible job. They've built their own red zone called the Gold Zone. They've got fourplex watching. I was watching surfing yesterday.
Right, from Tahiti. Me too.
How many Jewish people have ever surfed? None.
Right.
And how many have ever watched? Me. But I'm watching surfing, and by the way, there is actually an Israeli surfer, so I am full of crap.
Yes.
But it was fascinating. And that's the thing about the Olympics. We wouldn't watch surfing if it was the only thing on and we had nothing else to do in the world. We wouldn't watch team handball, but you put the Olympic rings on it,
right,
and there's something magical. Mm.
That's true.
Magical.
Right. And I was a big fan of Duke Kamanamaku Goldstein, too. That's amazing to see him doing it as well as he's doing it out there.
Yeah.
Riding the pipeline.
Trying 10.
Right. No, but Steve, we've always talked with the casual fan, the same people who tune into the Super Bowl for the halftime show and that stuff. I mean, it's the sweet spot, female demographics, everything. But so it's the streaming. I've got to just get with the program. I'm literally got to cut the cord. I'm one of those guys. I've got to cut the cord. Haven't done it yet because I'm still trying to find that balance.
Or do both. Or do both. Yeah. You make a fortune. You make Charlton Barrett.
Right.
Do both, man.
I mean, we could write it off. The standard deduction makes that hard, though, Carl. But anyway, all right, moving forward. The Hawks, by the way, how much of your Vegas summer action did you get to see? Reece Hoshea came out of the gate smoking. I mean, certainly looked as good, if not better, than anybody who was drafted around him.
Yeah, I mean, we were really pleased with him. But one of the things, you know, that we haven't ever really talked about, most guys on a summer league roster are never going to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
And when they get the ball past them, guess what they're not doing?
Right.
They ain't passing it to somebody else.
Right.
Okay? They're not making the first pick in the draft look great. So they're out to get there. So it's really, really tough basketball. And the other thing that a lot of our listeners might not know is, do you know how many fouls you get in summer league per player?
No.
10.
What?
Yes.
Nobody fouls out.
I didn't know that.
Nobody fouls out. It's super rough. It's super physical.
Right.
And they're all trainee refs. So between everybody trying to go get theirs and a preponderance of very physical, not NBA-type basketball, more murder ball, it's really hard to see past two games of how these guys do. But we were really pleased with them and then, you know, got them out after two games to protect them.
All right, before we let you go, I got to ask you one other thing. Steve Kooning, guys, Hawks
CEO. Anything. Ask me anything.
Well, so I'm spending time, you know, downtown, and I keep seeing these buildings go up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with Centennial Yards. For those of you who do not know, those are all those buildings around the arena and all that stuff that's going up. Steve, what does this look like 2 years from now? Even when we get the World Cup in 2026, what does this look like and how is it going to enhance our city?
So the entertainment zone exteriors will be built and there will be a big fan plaza for people to congregate and watch games going on in Mercedes. to be able to have food and beverage, but the venues won't be open yet because can't get them done in 2 short years. They're too big.
Okay.
But did you guys read about Cosm coming?
I did.
Cosm is one of the coolest ideas. It is, think of a sports bar that's built by the people who design planetariums.
Oh, wow.
And we love our 4K TV. They're going to have 12K TV. And you're literally going to be able to watch sporting events there that are not shot by Turner or ESPN, that are shot by the Cosm team, who's made a deal with every sports league, providing you the most interactive, immersive sports experience you've ever seen in your life. Think of it literally as watching sports at the Sphere. And
wow.
It's coming to Atlanta, and it's going to be their third location. Huh. And they're going to, you know, go to a UFC fight and watch it on a 200-foot screen and three times the definition of the best 4K TV you've ever seen. It's going to be amazing. And that's just one of the places coming down there. So it'll, I think, you know, the entertainment district will be wide open in 3 years, and it's going to be great. The apartments are coming up now. The hotels are coming up now. And there's more to be announced and more to come.
And then we'll get
in the luxury. We've been talking about it for 8 years.
Right. And then we'll get in the luxury tax.
No, Steve, don't.
I think the French would say to Mike, bite me.
Steve, appreciate you, man. Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
Au revoir.
No more Mondays.
No more Mondays. Take care.
Take care.
All right, you too. And seriously, look, we haven't spent a lot of time on it because it's hard when you're like, well, it's just condos and apartments.
Right.
I think it's going to transform downtown. I just do. The way you get people engaged in downtown is people have to live there.
There's got
to
be something going on down there. I mean, you can't be tumbleweeds and empty buildings. There's got to be stuff going on.
But it can't be games, Mike. You have to have people who live
24/7.
There. 24/7. New York. Different. People live in town. Go to these cities where people live. And I think that's part of it. But then those things that he's talking about. We got plenty of time to discuss it. But I think it's going to that's just me. And then you talk about all these events that we're getting. It's going to be even funner. All right. We're coming back. We'll get you caught up on the latest headlines in the 6 o'clock hour. This hour, by the way, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. It's Dukes and Bell.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.